The following program is brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, and the views expressed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station.
Broadcasting from Northern California for two decades, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us this weekend.
That's right, on the August 22nd weekend. We're glad you are here with us as we talk about financial matters.
And you know, that's the most beautiful part of this time of year.
The smoke.
My kids went back to school.
Oh, there we go. Kids back in school. Oh. I think that's for most, at least many people around the country.
It's joyful experience. And I love my children, obviously, as most people love my children, and you love your own children. But I was glad to see them go back.
Yeah. Anyway, we got a great program lined up for you this week. And myself and my co-host here, we are both financial advisors. We
Shouldn't they be the judge of whether it's a great program?
No, I'm going to tell them it's a good program and why they don't want to change the station, and they should pay close attention.
I think that
they don't need to pay close attention. You can just listen in the background for all we care.
You have to be passive.
Yeah.
You don't have to be an active listener.
Okay. Anyway, we're both financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays working with people like yourself, have been doing that for roughly a quarter of a century, and come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air, 20 years running of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. And so glad you are here, part of the program. And if you would like to join the show, we're gonna obviously talk about what's happened in the market this last week, and we've got some other great topics. But if you've got a question for us, something that's going on in your world, and we'd like to take questions on the radio program. There's some financial shows that don't. We like to because,
it's what we do for a living.
One's like we, yeah. And frankly,
personally get a lot of satisfaction out of problem solving and trying to help people and helping people.
And frankly, there are those that don't need a financial advisor. I honestly believe it's a small percentage of the population, but there's some that truly don't need a financial advisor. There are many that could benefit from a financial advisor, but don't have enough assets to hire a decent financial advisor.
Yes.
And then there's many that may have an advisor, but would like another opinion or kind of wondering if they should be making changes or whatever the case
may be. I was meeting with someone this last week, and I asked him, I said, you know so much about this stuff. Why do you need an advisor? Why do you want to hire us?
And he said, good question. It's like you go in for a car. Boy, you have such a nice used car you drove in. Why in the world would you want to get a new one? You start thinking, well, that's a good question. Why would I want a new car?
Yeah, so I asked
I'll shut up with that.
So I asked this gentleman and his wife, you understand this. I haven't said anything you don't know. Why are you using us? And he said, I just don't want to hassle with it. I know it all works. I get it. I just don't want to deal with it.
Well, that's why most people with significant wealth have advisors.
That's probably true.
They have people do all kinds of stuff for them, I would imagine. I guess. They're super wealthy.
Yeah, I guess.
Donald Trump's got like helicopters.
Oh, we cannot talk about him. He's just everywhere.
we're not going to talk good or bad.
We just can't talk about him anymore.
There was to join the program, if you want to be part of the program.
Our phone numbers.
To join the program, our number here, toll free, 888-2-HANSON, 888-2-HANSON.
And what are the numbers behind
it's
that?
888-242-6766.
242. I'm writing this down. Six. What?
You know, I was in a.
Wait, I'm serious.
888-242-6766.
Okay.
All right, true story this last week. Well, all my stories are true. I'm with Mr. McLean in the conference room. We're doing very important financial matters discussions, et cetera. And Pat's like, we're talking about how many months out, and he kind of does September, October, November, and he's counting with his fingers, September, October, November, December, holding his fingers. I'm like, is that my business partner, financial advisor, counting with his fingers?
Buddy, it works. Normally, I just keep them. I made the mistake of actually putting my hand where everyone can see it. Most of my analysis is done.
All right. So we're going to talk about, obviously,
let's talk about the
this
market
last week.
Yeah.
Thursday, was a nasty day. Friday was, like, whoa. I remember the start of it's like, we're down 150, down 180. I thought, this is going to be a day we're either going to snap back or it's going to be a day we're down several hundred.
Well, so early in the week, there were days like that where it snapped back.
Yeah.
But quite frankly, I was relieved that we finally saw this. And as an investment advisor, you're thinking, why would you think that? Well, anytime an asset class appears to have no risk, that there's no downside, it doesn't matter what it is. But the longer it rallies forward without some sort of an adjustment or a pullback or at least a sign of risk, the bigger the bubble becomes. You're thinking, what does that mean? Just go back and look at housing in during the 2000s. Any asset class. Gold. Real tech stocks in the late 90s.
So we had the week, the market was off a little more than 5%. Just under 6%. The broad stock market, S&P 500, we looked at some research from J.P. Morgan that they'd put out. A little less than 6%. The Dow Jones Industrial, 30%. Is actually in it hit 10% correction territory. So it was down 10%.
So what is a correction?
Well, it's a made-up term for when the markets fall 10%. Here's what...
What's a bear market is 20%. That's a bear market.
When you read bear markets, defined as
20%. It's a 20% decline. That's what the we agree upon. Industry has named
decided
it.
That's, yeah, whatever that's supposed to mean. So we saw some market pullback. Here's what I think most people don't kind of understand. If you look at the last 20 years, and every calendar year, both the great years and the bad years, every calendar year in the last 20 years, we've had declines of at least 5%. So a 5% pullback in the market.
It's nothing.
It's not. So here's what I looked at some headlines this week.
Okay.
Here are the headlines. Investors haven't been this terrified since 2009. And it's I don't know if the picture was from the movie The Birds or
Scream.
Not whatever the one with the guy.
The hatchet dude?
Yeah, and the shower. Whatever that one. First scary movie of all time. Whatever.
It was an Alfred Hitchcock movie.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so it was clearly a woman from one of the...
Both Alfred Hitchcock movies, The Bird and...
Psycho. So here's the woman looking terrified. Investors haven't been this terrified since 2009. And she does look a little bit like the painting Scream with the hand on. Another one, Dow 5000... And some guys predicted
it
down.
Are you kidding?
Market meltdown. Chaos on Wall Street.
Where?
Markets in turmoil.
What
Those
are you reading?
Headlines.
Mad Magazine? What is...
This came from Market Watch, from CNBC.
This is normal. And
it's normal.
Quite frankly, long overdue. Long overdue.
Not that we...
You don't like it, but my gosh, you want markets to have, if your market has risk, you want the appearance of risk, not the appearance of no risk. And every asset class has risk in it. And the longer it goes on without the appearance of risk, the bigger the bubble.
And I tell you, there was... I got an email this afternoon, Friday afternoon, from somebody, supposedly a financial advisor, saying now's the time to sell. I guess the sell signals came on, and he sent a letter to all the clients telling time to sell. And I stepped back and I thought, you know, we've got oil right now it actually went under $40 a barrel briefly on
down
Friday.
Down 70% from its high.
Down 70%. Who was predicting oil to decline? Does it make any sense that it's down 70% when we have a slight slowdown and some global growth that down 70%. Did the airline executives predict this? Did the people in the oil industry predict this?
And whether China is growing or slowing, or no one really knows. The numbers that come out of China are...
Well, we know they're all... We know they're puffed up.
And
their society is so much on saving face, they can't actually come out and say...
Everything that comes out of China, including a lot of the products, are suspect.
Some of them are good, but
they're all suspect.
Made in China is probably not going to last all that long. My wrench broke.
No, yeah, anyway.
But it was just, I think it's a good time for your own investing. You need to ask yourself, do you think it's possible to accurately predict the markets, or do you not? And if you believe you can accurately predict the markets, why do you believe that? What evidence is there that anyone can accurately predict the markets? And if you're like most investors who get to the point of saying, you know what, nobody can predict market cycles.
But Scott, the counter to that, we as a firm believe that there are certain times when the markets are more attractive than others.
Absolutely.
And although you cannot predict the ups and downs,
you might overweight or underweight a particular time.
Around a particular time based upon statistical data that the market is giving you. So in saying that, we may in the next few weeks decide to overweight the portfolios in equities where we've been a little bit underweight.
Depending on what happens with the markets.
Correct.
Nobody knows.
No one knows.
Oh,
I have no idea what we're going to do next week.
Well, we don't know what's going to happen. We'll see what happens next week.
Yeah.
We're taking a quick break here. If you want to be part of the program, 888-2-HANSEN will get you on. Question regarding anything in your financial life, Hanson McLean here would love to take it. So 888-2-HANSEN, you're listening to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Got a question? Visit moneymatters.com or call 1-888-2-HANSEN. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Can't always catch Money Matters on the radio each week? Get a podcast of the show delivered to your device every week. Visit moneymatters.com. Now
that's
back
right.
To Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Well, thank you there. Scott Hanson, Pat McLean back here with you. Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Glad you are with us this
little
morning.
ZZ Top?
Is that who that is?
I think so.
Hi. I kind of like them.
Do you really?
I didn't like them back when in the day, but I find, you know, as I get a little older, there's some music that I might not have appreciated much back in that era, but now I kind of, maybe it brings me back to another time in life when life had more pain, but I don't remember the pain.
Yeah, when things were, the outlook was bright.
Yeah. All right. Before I had teenagers. 888-2-HANSON to join the program, 888-2-HANSON.
Let's go to the call.
Yes, sir. Let's talk with Bill. Bill, you're with Hanson McLean.
Good morning.
Hi, Bill.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
We recently went to one of these living trust seminars, and I wanted to get your opinion on whether, based on my circumstances, I really needed one or not.
Okay. All right. Tell us your circumstance.
I'm retired. I'm pushing the late 60s, and my wife is also retired. Just about all of our money is in IRAs. And we have two properties, one here in Roseville and one on the coast.
Okay.
And as far as cash is concerned, we just keep enough cash on hand that we pull out of our IRA every month for emergencies and stuff like that.
What are the values?
Bill,
what are the values of the homes? The one in Roseville
probably,
and the one on the coast.
Well, here in Roseville, it's probably about 400 large.
Okay.
And down on the coast probably 500 large.
Okay. You need a trust.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing. So, and the state of California can be a complicated, costly probate process. So, the state of California, okay. Many people in the state of California could benefit from a trust. But really, when you get a living trust, you typically go through, spend some time doing some estate planning. Where you'll have a will that'll say, here's how the assets should be distributed. You'll have some other documents that'll provide a power of attorney. So should you or your wife, something happen and somebody's to act on your behalf from either a financial matter or also from a health care, you might particularly have a advanced health care directive as part of that whole package. So usually the retirement accounts will pass based upon beneficiary, regardless of what you state in your,
right.
your trust. So that's, it's nice.
Right.
But the properties are something different entirely.
And you're.
I did forget to mention that we have no kids and probably most of our money will go to grandnieces and nephews' education funds.
Okay. You still need a trust.
I mean,
okay.
Maybe.
Actually, you need.
Maybe more so.
Even more so.
If you told me it was all going to go to the SPCA or whatever.
A charity, then actually what I would tell you is to contact the charity and they'll actually
for
pay
you.
For the trust. But
right.
In your situation, because you have no children, you need probably need it even more, you know, so that no one can contest it.
And I appreciate your situation, Bill. As you know, as financial advisor, we've dealt with a number of some people over the year that don't have children and they have assets. And that part of you is probably thinking, you know, why should I pay all this money for?
Correct. Like, why do I care?
Well, it's not he cares, but it's like, why do I want to?
No, he just called us up to ask, why do I care? Is that why you called, Bill? I mean, let's cut to it.
That's a good point, though. I never thought of, because we had been looking at a couple of charities that we really like as well, and I had never thought of them setting up.
And they absolutely. So, if let's say
only if it all goes to them.
Right? No. If you said you were going to give 10% or whatever to a charity, they would be more than happy to do. And you might, you'd be probably best off to leave some of your retirement account, your IRA, not. Property.
And the reason you would leave the IRA to the charity and not the property is because a charity doesn't pay any income taxes. So you leave the IRA to the charity, they get the money. You leave it to a niece or nephew, they pull the money out, they have to pay taxes on it. So if your objective is to pay as the least amount of taxes as possible, which, by the way, most people, that's their objective, you would actually name the charity as the beneficiary in the IRA. But if you went, so I'm the board chair of the Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services, and I have been for many years. If you came to me and said, hey, I want to leave $300,000 to the Sacramento Food Bank, by the way, it wouldn't be a bad idea, Bill. We would pay for the trust to be done.
Of course. Yeah. You went for much less than that, too.
Correct. If you said I was going to leave $50,000, we would pay for the trust to be done.
If you want to leave, so you're in an interesting situation. Bill, if you were 10 years older, we'd probably be sitting there a little harder. You should probably get this done. I mean, you're still relatively young. You might not feel that when you get out of bed in the morning. But doing some estate plan, I think, is important. And I would just encourage you, as you're looking at this, it's a pain to have to deal with an attorney and pay the fees. But maybe you and your wife can sit and kind of have some fun. It's like, look, here's these assets. Odds are we're not going to spend them during our lifetime. Don't know what's going to happen. So we don't want to give a bunch of money away while we're alive. But we'd like to help our nieces and nephews with college if possible. But what else could you do that can leave some legacy?
So, Scott, I went through this recently with clients of mine that for years and years they've been putting it off. They have no children. They were going to leave some money to their nieces and nephews. They had an estate pretty similar to yours, probably worth a couple million dollars when you added it all up. I suggested
we got about 1.6 in IRAs.
So you're worth two and a half. According to the numbers here, the round numbers, you're worth about $2.5 million.
Yeah.
I suggested that they each make a list of five charities that they wanted to give money to and see if independent of each other and see what matched, what they had, what charities in common. And then who they wanted the money to go to. And they each went their own separate ways, made this list, and then came back and compared the two. And then that's how they decided where the dollars would go. And some went to nieces and nephews, and some went to charities. And they both went to the same college, and the money went to the their college. But that's what my recommendation. You and your wife go to that house on the coast. You go there. She stays in Roseville. You make your list.
Share a nice weekend.
You make your list. You've been married a long time. It's time for a break. Anyway, that would be my recommendation.
Well, you've given me a good direction here. Thank you.
All right, Bill. Glad you called.
Thank you for listening to the show.
You know,
Pat,
it's fun. Money is a funny thing, right? When we're young and kind of getting started in life, money's tight typically for most people, right? Really tight, and you need to do some planning, and you're trying to get some financial security for yourself, and then most people, they're married, and then they have kids, and they need some financial security. And then as you go through life, many people get to later in life, and they have more than enough, but you know you're not going to spend it all in your lifetime.
But you worry about spending it all in your lifetime, so you don't want to give it away.
You don't want to give it all away, because, what happens if you have you could have a...
There's all kinds of things that could happen, right?
Yeah, things could still happen. But it gives people an opportunity, really. And you see so many people just will automatically name their kids, which may or may not always be the best thing to do.
It depends on your kids.
Many people benefit from giving some to the kids and also giving something that's important to them and near and dear to them. So we just kind of want to encourage that as you as you're doing your own sort of estate planning.
And you don't have to give it. It's not all or nothing. It could be $5,000. It could be $10,000. It could be $100,000.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Or be a percentage of your retirement account, whatever's left or whatever. Hey, before we go back to calls, I want to let listeners know we've got workshops this week. So on Tuesday, August 25th, both Scott Hansen and Pat McClain, the two of us, will be at in downtown Sacramento at the Citizen Hotel doing a workshop at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. on the 7 personal decision points for retirement transition. So anyone who's really within 5 years of retirement.
Or retired.
Yeah, or recently retired, whatever, kind of trying to figure some of these things out. The 7 personal decision points, again, this Tuesday in downtown Sacramento, 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. at Citizen Hotel. And then on Wednesday, we'll be in the East Bay in Walnut Creek at the, I believe, Embassy Suites Hotel. Again, on Wednesday at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. So to learn more and to register, you need to register. Just go to moneymatters.com. And remember, so if you just go moneymatters.com, you'll see information about the workshops. Again, Tuesday in Citizen Hotel, downtown Sacramento. Wednesday, Embassy Suites in Walnut Creek, 1 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Yeah. I think Tuesday night might be full, though, Scott. I know there's some room in Walnut Creek, but...
Oh, well, go online and see what there is. I didn't read my memos this week, I guess.
Someone in marketing said, mention this. I don't know.
All right. So,
yeah, whatever. Yeah. So, Tuesday, Wednesday money, Walnut Creek.
Moneymatters.com. And by the way... Moneymatters.com has been, we've had this domain for 20 years. Hans McLean's Money Matters has been this for a long time. There's at least one knockoff on moneymatters.net. There might be some other Money Matters trying to, I think, maybe kind of benefit
he
from
He offered
our
to
Money
buy
Matters.
It from us.
Yeah, well.
It's moneymatters.com. Go to the website. We revamped it in last month. And I say we revamped it. I mean, other people at the firm.
Yes.
But it looks good.
Let's talk with Jerry.
I'm actually kind of proud of it.
Well, good. We're talking to Jerry. Jerry with Hans McLean.
Hi. I appreciate your show very much.
Thank you.
I have 848 shares of Chevron CVX. It's 52-week high, was 135 approximately. It's 52-week low is about 80, and it's going lower every day.
How long have you owned this, Jerry?
I have owned it since 1997 when the base value was $67.32. Do I sell at this low price or hold it since there will be less demand for gas in the future maybe?
Oh, that's
it. Do I sell it and keep being sick?
Oh, well, the second thing is what the keep being sick is the bigger issue. I think, you know, so...
No, don't worry about me sick. Don't worry about that.
How?
We don't have
smart people do with this.
As a percentage of your portfolio, is this a small piece, large piece? Tell us about how this fits in the overall picture.
It's a large piece. I'm managing my own portfolio, and it's kind of it's the largest.
Is it like 50% of the portfolio
of this of the stocks? Yes.
It's 50% of the portfolio.
Well, you know what? You want some straightforward, honest advice?
Yes.
You shouldn't have owned it in the first place.
Yeah, you might be better off having some professional management.
Do you realize it was given to me in 1997 when my aunt died?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it was given to you or not given to you. So the question we have is, what's the cost basis on it? Would I be in
35?
That's what it was given to you at, but that's not the cost basis.
Jerry, we would both strongly encourage you to talk with. And just because it was given to you doesn't mean you need to continue to own it. Matter of fact, when you inherit some assets, a great opportunity to reposition.
But if this was gifted to you and not inherited, the cost basis is unknown. A gifted asset is different than an inherited asset. So I don't think you should have owned it in the first place. I don't know if this would be a particularly good time to sell it, though, either.
Well, but nobody knows tomorrow. Nobody knows where oil's going.
Yeah.
But that's the reality. Nobody really knows.
I would certainly pair the position as a percentage of the portfolio.
Yeah. I would, Jerry, I think you'd be well served by having a meeting with a good qualified advisor and get some professional management going forward on that. So I really, and we're not big fans of individual stocks because of times like this. Anyway, stick around for more Hans McLean's Money Matters.
Are you questioning if the advice you receive from your stockbroker or financial advisor is best for you?
If so, run it by Scott Hansen and Pat McClain of Hansen McClain's Money Matters. Simply visit their website at moneymatters.com or call 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Would you like an opinion on a financial matter you're dealing with? Whether it's retirement readiness or investment allocation, tax planning or IRA rollovers, Scott Hansen and Pat McClain would like to help you by answering your call. To join Hansen McClain's Money Matters, simply visit their website at moneymatters.com or call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hansen McClain's Money Matters. Scott Hansen.
Pat McClain, thanks for joining us.
Glad you're here. Hey, we're going to go back to the calls here in just a moment. And there's plenty of time to get more calls. 888-2-HANSEN to be
so
part
my,
of the program.
My brother-in-law and sister-in-law.
This is a long life story.
Yes, and a good one. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law were over yesterday. And I allocate his 401k for him. And he said, should I worry? No, you shouldn't worry. And we were appropriately allocated going in. He said, when do I worry? No, he said, when do I put more money into stocks? And I said, well, not quite certain, but if there's a big enough decline, then we might want to overweight the equities at that point in time. And he said, ah, great. And then again, he's 52. I said, when are you going to take this money out? You're not going to retire until you're 65.
You should welcome a downturn. If you're still working, you should be happy when the market goes down. If you're saving,
yeah, so
there's a chance to buy more. You know, yesterday afternoon, we're going to take calls a moment. Late yesterday afternoon, I had a handyman over because I had a clogged sink, and I actually could probably figure it out, but I am so bad at around things around the house. I mean, it's
just better for the marriage.
And I installed a ceiling fan once at my house. And I spent a couple hours, a little remote control. I was really proud. I got it all up. I figured it out, read the manual like four times. And then a little remote control. And I'm pushing on. How did I get the thing? And I couldn't get the thing to go on. I did the wiring, four check. It was not going on.
What was wrong with it? No batteries in the remote control?
An electrician came in. He walked over the light switch on the side of the wall and flipped the light switch on. That's the kind of thing. So my point here, now that I'm spilling my guts, guys, they're doing the thing, and we start talking about the market. Oh, a big sell-off of the market. He says, yeah. He says, you know, it's interesting. He says, my mother passed away recently, and we've been going through her stuff, and I was coming across some old newspaper, and I saw an article back in the 70s when the Dow, he says, it was something like at 800 back in the 70s.
He said,
reminded me just to kind of put things in perspective, and I thought, that's a kind of a good little thing. I'm going to mention that on the air. So anyway, there we go.
Well, thank you, Mr. Handyman Guy.
All right, let's go back to the calls here. 888-2-HANSON. We're talking with Chuck. Chuck, you're with Hansen McClain.
Hi there. How you guys doing?
Wonderful. Thanks for joining the program, Chuck.
Love your show.
Thanks.
Okay, my question is, I want to retire the first of the year, or maybe the middle of next year.
Okay.
Is there a better time to retire tax wise? I mean, my income will be much less than it was. Does it matter?
Sometimes it matters to be, but not so much as it used to, based upon when they award vacation time.
Yeah, I mean, some companies, if you stay over to January 2nd, you get additional vacation you can buy out or whatever.
Yeah, but for most people, other than the vacation time, it doesn't make any difference. For some people, it makes a little bit of difference whether you're going to apply for Social Security in the year you retire and what your income looks like, because what's called the special monthly rule on Social Security. But for the vast majority of people, it makes no difference.
Mm-hmm. I see.
None at all.
I mean, if you've got a big desire to do a Roth conversion, you know your income is going to be much less. From a financial standpoint, the longer you work, the better off you're going to be.
But the question is, do I leave in January or March or June or July? Most people, it makes absolutely no difference.
Really? Okay. Can I ask you one more question?
Yes, sir.
I've got a plan to live on my pension and withdraw enough out of my 401k to stay just under the single person income, which is I think $72,000.
Okay.
Is that
for the 15%
so
bracket?
Yeah. So that will give me a 15%. So I want to draw my pension plus whatever I got to do to kind of max that, but just bump up against that $72,000.
Are you going to spend all the money that's coming out of your 401k?
No, I thought I would just use the extra money and maybe invest it somewhere else or save it, just to kind of be moving it out of my 401k.
Great thought process.
Chuck, we are going the same direction on this. We're just going to add one little thing.
So your thought is, look, I've got this money in the 401k. The tax rates are very progressive. Some money's taxed at 15. If it gets too high, it goes to 25. Then it goes up and up from there. So I'm going to take out just enough to make sure that I'm in a lower tax bracket, right? Instead of letting it accumulate forever. So if you're not planning on spending those dollars right away, we would recommend you convert those dollars to a Roth IRA.
And that way they grow tax deferred and they come out tax free.
Right.
And if you channel...
That's a pretty good plan is to take that money as much as I possibly can out of there and just buy and roll it over to a Roth.
That's correct.
Yes.
It's exactly what you were planning on doing anyway. You had just said, I'm going to take that money out at the 15% tax bracket, which is brilliant, by the way, and invest it. We agree with that, but the vehicle we would use is a Roth IRA and then investments inside the Roth IRA.
Am I still stuck at $6,500 for a Roth?
No, a conversion could be any amount at all. So remember, a contribution to a Roth has to be based on earned income. A conversion from an IRA to a Roth IRA is unlimited.
Whatever the amount you have in your retirement plan.
But you want to do it in the 15% tax bracket because it's more favorable to you than rather than drive yourself up into a higher tax bracket.
So you're saying to stay under $72,000.
Well, I don't know if the 72 is exact because there's gross income and there's taxable income after deduction. So every situation is unique. But clearly do your own tax planning, yes. And if you can convert some dollar. Matter of fact, I just wrote... on Thursday afternoon, I just wrote exactly on this thing that it's for Kiplinger. That'll be on their website in the next week or two.
So,
because I write it.
So, if Chuck wanted to read this,
MoneyMatters.com will have that.
You go to MoneyMatters.com in the next couple of weeks. Scott writes how often do you write this column for Kiplinger's?
But on this very same topic here, which is a brilliant strategy, Chuck.
Yeah. And you didn't even know it, Chuck. You knew that you should pull that money out at the most favorable tax rate. The second step is rather than invest it outside of an IRA, put it in a Roth IRA and you can buy anything you want with it.
Right, right. I have a Roth now, so I can just keep contributing to it.
The reason you'd want to use the one you already have is there's a five-year time frame of when we either have a contribution or conversion to a Roth before we can take out a withdrawal. You already have one in existence, so you can convert right away and
perfect
satisfy the five-year window.
Does that help?
The tax chart I saw was $72,000. Is that not right?
Well, I don't have a tax chart in front of me, but there's taxable income, and it actually sounds like a number for a married couple, but again, you really need to look at your own situation because you have personal exemptions, you have itemized deductions
or standard deduction,
which depends.
I don't have many of those in retirement.
Well, you want to do though, instead of just taking a shot at it, you really want to do the planning. So
just do a tax return.
Yeah. If you do you do your own taxes or do you have someone do them for you?
No, I'd just take an H&R Block there.
Okay.
All right. Well, then what I would do is at the end of next year, say, hey, can you do a little tax projection, see where I'd see right now, sit, and then you could just look to taxable income is this number. You go look at the thing and say, how much can I have in my taxable income before it bumps to the next tax bracket, and that tells you how much you can convert.
All righty.
That's a good thing, but talk to my tax person.
Perfect.
Yep.
Perfect.
Yeah, next year.
Okay.
Hey, and congratulations on retirement next year, Chuck.
Thank you very much.
Have fun.
It could be an exciting time of life, most likely.
Normally.
For most people.
Sometimes.
It's a transition for people.
Some people take retirement very well, and some people, quite frankly, regardless of their financial situation, should never retire.
Some people.
Yeah, my wife tells me I will never retire.
My wife tells me the same thing. Don't ever think about it, mister. Actually, when my wife's upset with this, mister is what you call it. Look, mister.
Really?
Mister. I don't know where this came from, mister. I mean, look at it. Yeah. What is this mister stuff? Fortunately,
your wife,
it's not too
your wife talks to you when she's mad at you?
That's
that's cute. On day three. No.
I've been married almost 30 years.
It's is that right?
Believe. Yeah, January, 30 years. I was thinking, man. What was she thinking?
I had a friend of mine says, I've been married for 36 years. Not to the same woman.
He's Roy Ford. He's been married four. I've been married three.
That's not funny.
Anyway.
Four times.
Yeah.
That just seems like an incredible amount of work.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I bet he's a fun guy.
Yeah, I don't take marital advice from him. Other things, not the marital advice. You should really tell your wife that. Says, yo, why don't we?
Because he's been married four times.
Well, you should be taking his divorce. If you need divorce advice,
right, we got to take a break. And there's we still have time for some more calls. When we come back, we'll talk to Brett and we can talk to you. 888-2-HANSON. That's 888-2-HANSON. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
To join the show, call us at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-242-6766. Get a podcast of Hanson McLean's Money Matters delivered each week to your computer or mobile device. Simply visit moneymatters.com. And now, back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
I'm glad. Hey, before we go back to the calls, I want to real quick let our listeners know that this week, Barron's Magazine. Barron's is a publication that's been around for a long time. A great weekly periodical for financial.
Was it created by the
digest.
Robber Barons, was it not?
Not the Robber Barons. I don't know. No. No. Anyway, Barron's is a highly respected publication, and every year they'll put together a list of the top 100 independent financial advisors. I think they call them wealth managers now, whatever they're called.
Something
financial
like that.
The top 100 in the nation out of the tens of thousands of, how many there are? A lot of them out there.
Bunch of us.
Lots of. Anyway, another. I was very honored again, both myself and Mr. McLean here were both in the top 100. And they look at a variety of different things, and you can go.
But what's interesting about our firm
more.
Is we most of the firms in the Barron's Top 100 are what they call family offices that work with the ultra, ultra wealthy.
Yeah, I read about an article this week about a couple advisors leaving one firm to join another, and they were bringing over $500 million.
And they had 30 clients.
30 clients, 30 families.
Yeah.
Yeah, most people don't have.
Yeah, most people don't have. You know, what is that? I'm not really good at math.
$15 million of investable assets. Yeah.
$17 million on average investable assets.
So, yeah, anyway, it was a nice.
That was nice.
Yeah, we were honored.
Oh, but
again.
I thought you were going to promote our workshop. That's what I was hoping for.
So I was promoting something else about us.
Well, on Tuesday, Sacramento, 7 personal decision points.
Yeah,
you
our
can
workshop.
Register at moneymatters.com.
Tuesday in Sacramento, Wednesday of this week in Walnut Creek.
Yeah. And we have some room in Walnut Creek, Sacramento. We're almost full on the evening.
But you need to register because we might fill up at both venues. We didn't filled up before this year in one of these. So, again, moneymatters.com.
We started doing these things last year. We haven't done a workshop in years and years.
This year.
Did we do them this year?
Yes.
Did we done
it's been
last
a long year?
Year.
No, not last year.
Anyway, I enjoyed doing them. I enjoyed doing them.
Moneymatters.com for more info on that. Let's talk with Brett. Brett, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, guys. Thanks for the call. My wife and I actually, about a year and a half ago, we wanted to take some of our personal savings. We took about $25,000 and we were going to start investing for, not for 401k, but more as a just moderate growth.
I'm sorry, Brett. This is outside of an IRA. This is after tax dollars. You just took it from your savings and started investing. Is that correct?
Yeah, we had about 50 at the time,
okay.
And we were getting no interest, and so we wanted to take about half and start investing in more of a moderate growth plan.
Okay. So by the way, Brett, this is exactly what the Federal Reserve has been trying to get people to do.
You did it.
You had money that was sitting aside in a safe savings account that was earning some interest. As interest rates went lower and lower and lower, you and your wife looking at yourself like, we got to be better stewards with our money than this. It's earning nothing. We've got to do something. So you took $25,000 and then continue on.
Yeah, and so we have also like 401ks that are much higher than that. And so we decided to go with an actively managed account. And in the last year and a half, because we're paying a 1.5% fee on top, we basically only we're now probably negative from what we started. And now and before we were only making maybe 1% total.
Now?
Even now it's negative. I think it's negative.
Yeah.
From our initial investment.
So do you, let me ask a couple questions. Do you have children?
We just have a 6-month-old.
And are you funding the child's 529 plan?
We were planning on doing a 529 plan, but that wasn't going to be on top of.
Okay.
Because we wanted to grow some of ours in case we own a house, if we decided to move houses or something.
Okay.
We want to grow it more than the 0.01%.
Got it. So what's your question?
So my question is because the actively managed account hasn't been as good, do you recommend more mutual funds or index funds?
When you say actively, what exactly is this fund doing? What, I mean, is it own a bunch of stocks?
It's 70% stocks. I think the rest is between bonds, securities, equities, and I have a financial advisor who is actively trading.
Who's doing the trading, the advisor or some other third party?
I believe the advisor is.
So here's what it gets back to. It's a difficult question to ask because I don't think you know what the objective for this money is. Because you said moderate portfolio, but then you said, but we might need the money to buy a house in the future. So is the time frame 3 years, 5 years, 10 years? What's the time frame of these?
5 years. 5 years.
5 years? Are you okay? Hey, what's going on with the phone there? You okay, Brett? Are you wrestling with a dog?
So you got a 6-month-old.
That's right. You do, huh? You have a 6-month-old. So
wrestling the dog. Because when I get bored when I'm on the phone with somebody, I typically will grab my dog and start wrestling the dog. I'm sure that's what Brett was doing.
You're wrestling with the dog. So is it active or passive, which is index? We use both. There's an argument for both sides of it. It depends on how you weight the two.
And you've got, essentially, it's been 18 months. And, of course, the market just had a bad week and whatever, and so it's it hasn't really gone a long enough time to see if this is
good or bad.
I guess my question is do you find when paying someone an additional 1.5%, is it better to go with just a straight mutual fund over the long?
I think it depends.
Are they trading stocks or mutual funds?
It's mostly, I think, mutual funds or equities, as they're buying different, also equities.
Is this a true financial planner that helps sit down and look at your 401k and here's how these should be allocated and let's talk about your overall retirement and how much you should be saving and what's the home going to look like in the future and how do we save for our...
He hasn't done that, no.
So when you ask the question, is it worth the 1.5%? I think it could be if an advisor was helping you really with the long-term planning.
That advisor most certainly should have looked at your 401k and gave you an allocation on that.
Right. Yeah.
Point and a half?
You're paying a lot for money management that your question is even decent. So you're paying 1.5 for the money management, and then you've got the underlying fees, and you're not getting any of the financial planning.
It's $25,000, which is hard to find a financial advisor that's going to manage $25,000. That's the reality.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right.
Okay, that makes sense.
Right. Okay. An advisor that would manage $25,000, they're hard to find. So the answer to the question.
I wouldn't pay it. And it sounds like...
But we get paid to manage money.
I know that. I know. And we probably have some clients that over a short period of time are thinking, well, I joined them 6 months ago and I'm not making money. Why am I doing this? But typically, we take much more of a financial planning process.
Right. It was more because also he said the portfolio over the last 5 to 10 years was getting about 7%.
That sounds right.
And I figured it, and which was great, except, and then the first year I got 1%. And then now it's negative. So
yeah,
kinda,
yeah. Well, yeah, but the markets, it's what you invested in.
The markets haven't delivered much lately. That's the reality.
So I'd give it more time. And so the question is, do I need an active manager versus passive? We use both, but I would give it more time. I certainly wouldn't pull out of the markets at this point in time.
No, I was thinking of maybe just switching to more different mutual funds and then, or index funds, for example. But I didn't want to go too heavy in stocks because of how volatile everything has been the last month or so.
Well, it's actually maybe an attractive time to buy. So the answer to the question is, go back and visit with your advisor and have them make sure that the portfolio is appropriate for you at this particular point in time. That's what you're paying for. Call him or her and say, hey, let's look at this thing and make sure it's appropriate.
Thanks for the advice.
All right. Take care.
Yeah. Good luck, Brett. And, you know, this is exactly what the Federal Reserve, what they attempted to do is let's lower interest rates to the point where they're so low, people are going to say, I need to put my capital
at risk.
To work for me somewhere, and they end up taking risk.
And yeah, that's exactly what the Federal Reserve, and why did the Federal Reserve want that, Scott?
To help stimulate the economy, thinking that if people will invest in other things, they hopefully it'll somehow get into investing in plant and equipment and R&D and the kind.
And actually, most of it has gone to share buybacks. So.
Instead, I know. It is an interesting.
It really is. Most of the price increases in the inequities, the earnings per share have come through financial manipulation, not top line growth.
You look at top line revenue.
And top line revenue means sales.
It is not growing for the main companies. Right
but
now.
Profits have moved, but mostly just because of businesses running more efficiently and then buying back shares.
But here, I think it's an important time right now. If whether you are still working and planning on retiring, or just about to retire, or you've just retired, or you've been retired for a number of years, whatever the case, you can either get caught up in the noise of what's happening in the markets right now and have a lot of stress and concern and wondering what's going to happen to the future and all that. So you can either get really caught up in this, or you can step back and say, this is a season of time. And I mentioned earlier about this gentleman saw an old newspaper. And I seriously, if you go back and look at other articles, other headlines, other financial crises, it's not like this is the first time we've had issues. Have we been in this situation before? No, we haven't been in this situation.
Not in this
before.
Particular situation.
But we've been in other situations before.
That are similar.
And the sky's probably not going to fall. When I entered this business, 1990, actually a couple years before then, a friend of mine who was a few years older gave me a book. I think the title was The Coming Economic Doom. And he thought he was helping me getting out of college of the coming economic doom and how bad things were going to be.
And
I was so grateful.
He might have missed that a little bit.
This is 1990. Wow, you know. 90s were phenomenal times for
might have been off just a tad.
We got our deficit under control. I mean, it was a great time. Anyway, the music tells us that we're out of time. We are here every Saturday morning, and love taking your calls. You can also get a podcast of this program by moneymatters.com. We've got workshops this week, Tuesday in Sacramento, Wednesday in Walnut Creek. For more information and to register, go to moneymatters.com. This has been Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.